Yeah, man. Here we are in the stereo app. Once again, coming to you live, taking your live, unfiltered questions. Producer Max Pattas in the next space. He's going to be firing those babies off. What are you thinking about, Chris?
Well, first off, Happy New Year. It's I appreciate the State of the Union on yesterday's show, but typically you also give a New Year's resolution. Some of your most famous ones in the past, rest for success, demand more from your deodorant, stuff like that. Do you have anything you're thinking about for this year?
I forgot about demanding more from my deodorant. I feel like, and I followed through with that one. I did not dress for success, but I did. I bought a bunch of clip-on ties, but I never followed through with that one. Yeah, I decided to demand more for my deodorant because every time I saw a commercial, there was some good-looking dude with an athletic build, and he was just leaving the gym, and he was heading to a big board meeting, and there's a bunch of hot chicks, and he was going to be pointing at stuff with his jacket off, you know, and his dress shirt. And that guy, like, demanded more from his deodorant. And then later on, that guy was going to take the subway back to his apartment with the brick veneer and the Harley parked in front of it, you know, inside with the 18-foot ceilings and a heavy bag next to the Harley. And that dude would then be holding the top of the railing. He'd be standing in the subway holding the railing, and a super hot chick would slide up right underneath his armpit. But he was confident because he demanded more from his deodorant. And every time I rode the subway, I put my hand up on that grab bar and some 26-year-old model would like sidle up to me and I'd be pitting out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
so embarrassing because I was like, I just go to Trader Joe's and get whatever the fuck they got on sale. But I wasn't demanding more from my deodorant. And also, these guys' lifestyles, you know, they're in the gym, they're playing squash, they're in the boardroom, they're taking mass transit. Later on that night, they got the hot chick over to their bachelor apartment. And again, jackets always slung over their shoulder, dress shirt, you know, light blue, one of those colors you can really pit out with. Nothing. Oh, dries a bone. So I was like, these guys are all demanding. Well, first thing they were is they were demanding a lot from themselves. You know what I mean? On the court, off the court, in the courtroom, in the boardroom. These guys were demanding a lot from themselves. And they started making equal demands on their deodorant. And I realized I was radio silent when it came to my deodorant. I was just like, I'll put it on in the morning. I'll leave the house. And if a spokesmodel pulls up next to me when I'm at the boardroom pointing at shit, and I'm pitting out, I got nothing to say. So I did start demanding more for my deodorant. And maybe this year I'll demand more from the talc I dumped down my shorts before I leave the house. I'm not sure if I should demand more from my talc. And I also feel like the talc's doing a pretty good job. So I don't know if I would even be within my rights. I would say for me, I'm doing the cold water plunge every morning. That's good. I would say I got to spend more time on the rowing machine. But the problem is my rowing machine has a bad wheel. It has like a flat spot in it. And every time I go up and back, it's like click, 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 clunk, 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 click, click, clunk, 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 clunk.
Oh, yeah.
And I replaced it once. And then I got a new one. And not the rowing machine, but the whole wheel seat assembly. And the new one has chunked out and flat spotted, too. So now I don't know. I'm going to do a trifecta this year. While I'm on the rowing machine, I'm going to demand more from my deodorant. I'm going to demand more from my talc, and I'm going to demand that I hit that rowing machine harder every year. Exercise. That'll be it for me. I used to exercise quite diligently, and then at some point I got older and I turned into a puss, and I got kind of soft about it, and no more. I'm going to demand more from my rowing machine. All right. Do we have questions that you can reach us here, by the way, live on stereo, if you like? Yes.
We do. And also, you were saying that you weren't sure if you should demand more from your talc, but if you're exercising more, you're going to have to demand more. So it all goes hand in hand.
Yeah. All right. Then that's it. All I will demand more from my deodorant, my talc, and myself.
Love it. All right. Here's a question.
Hey, this is Jeff. I'm from Alabama. Just saying, I've never heard you talk much about college football. You have about pro football. And just considered, see how you felt about college football. All right, man, roll tide. Thanks.
I like college football. I do. I enjoy the pageantry. I enjoy the fact that, you know, some of these places put 100,000 people in the stadium, or they used to pre-COVID. Versus the pros, they're putting, you know, 65,000 people, 70,000 people in there. But I love that. The mascots are much better when they run with that big longhorn bull out there, or the bison. You know, they got the big buffalo running out there, or even the eagle or the hawk or something like that. I mean, it's okay in the pro football world, but the college football world has much better mascots. Also, I was thinking about this. When, you know, the pro football players are going out in the field and, you know, they have those big smoke canisters that go off, just poof, poof, and just shooting all that smoke and fog into the air.
Yeah.
And then I was watching a commercial for a local car dealership in Vegas, and they were showing them misting the inside of the car with the alcohol mist because they were disinfecting everything. Why don't they take those fucking smoke canisters that they fire off before the Ravens take the field and fill that with the alcohol mist or shit and just blow up the whole stadium with it? Like, if you were in a dome stadium and those big things, instead of shooting the noxious gas into the air and everyone's getting black lung, you could be blowing off the disinfectant. You could load those things up with Lysol or some version of that and just blow those things up before the guys took the field. It'd be safe. It'd be visual compelling. And I think people would have a better afternoon. And if a little of it settled into your Budweiser, so be it.
Yeah, it can only help.
It can only help. All right, I also should mention, I never knew the names of any of the teams. And I'd always do this like spell correct thing in my head. So as a kid, I was aware of the Nebraska Cornhuskers, but I'm from North Hollywood, so I didn't know what a Husker was, so I called them Corn Hustlers. And I was aware of Penn State, the Nittany Mountain Range, the Nittany Lions, but I always just called them the Nifty Lions because I didn't know what a Nittany or a Husker was. And I'm trying to think. Oh, I think I called the Crimson Tide, your own Alabama, the Crimson Tide. I think I called it the Crims and Tide. So I didn't know what that was. And as long as I'm confessing, when I used to see commercials when I was a kid for the law firm of Jacoby and Myers, I thought they were saying Jacobian Myers, as if a Meyer was like an ethnicity or Jacobian, like these are Jacobian Myers, which to me meant some sort of old English barrister or something, like from the law firm of the Jacobian Myers. Like, oh, this guy's a Jacobian Meyer. He must have knowledge. I didn't know it was two dudes named Jacoby and Myers.
Yeah, just a little bit more advanced than the Egyptian Myers.
That's right. The Jacobians. They knew the law better than any civilization that came before them. They actually were the first to come out with tort reform. I don't know that people knew the Jacobians. The Jacobians back in 1582, they invented the powdered wig. They were barristers. They were the first to don the judicial robe. And the Jacobians knew. You could take a 14-year-old Jacobian from 1582, and they would pass today's bar with no preparation. Hand of God. Look it up. So nobody knew the law like the Jacobian Myers.
We need to give them more credit then.
Yes.
Thank you for putting that out there. Mm-hmm. If you had to pick a college team, though, because, I mean, you really don't have any stakes in this at all. So what would your college team be?
I had one growing up because I played for the East Valley Trojans, and our uniforms were exactly the same as the USC Trojan. So it, when you're a kid, you start playing at seven. I was at the East Valley Trojans for 5 years. And when you're playing for the East Valley Trojans and your uniform's the same as USC Trojans, then you become a USC fan. So I was a USC fan growing up. And then later on, I became a Sun Valley Falcon. But our Falcon uniforms didn't look like the Atlanta Falcon uniforms at all. So for some reason, I then dropped off and never became a Falcons fan. But I was a USC fan just because of my East Valley Trojan connection.
That makes sense. That makes sense. All right, here's another question.
Adam, Chris, get it on. I want to hear Chris cover some of those songs Adam's been pitching to him, some of those songs that you discussed on the show. So I want to know when we'll hear Chris live in studio covering some of Ace Man's suggestions. Get it on.
Yeah, how about a little bread medley? How about a little bread sampler?
That's not going to be as finger popping as you like, but I'm game.
Yeah. What are some of the songs you've heard me mention over the years that you think would be in your range?
I have covered a few of the songs that you've mentioned, like on the cruise and the various Kroll events where you'd let us play very graciously. We've done the Jags.
I got your number written on the back of my hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love
that
song.
Which is not a common song. Like, it's actually not, I don't think it's even on Spotify. It's, yeah, so it's, that one was really fun. It's really upbeat. We've done the Smokey Robinson song, Tears of a Clown.
Such a good song.
We've done, what is it? Cruel to Be Kind.
Yeah, man. Nick Lowe. Great song.
Yeah, that one's fun.
Nick Lowe. Maybe written by, I'm looking at Dawson. I don't think it was Elvis Costello. That was Girls Talk. Is that a Nick Lowe song that was written by Dave Edmonds? I don't know. Dawson can look it up on his computer. I feel like there's some Dave Edmonds connection there. Or maybe it's just Girls Talk, which is another good song you should cover, which I think is an Elvis Costello song that was covered by Dave Edmonds. Yes, he's nodding. Was Cruel to Be Kind written by Dave Edmonds? No. He's looking. He's running to his computer. All right. So we got those. What we got to get some.
Written by Nick Lowe.
Written by Nick Lowe.
And co-written by one of his bandmates.
Oh, okay. So that's all Nick Lowe. Yeah. Good song there. Boston would always be good.
He played that on this very podcast.
Oh, that's right. That's right. All right. Let's cover a Boston song next time.
I am always fascinated by your love for Boston. I mean, not that I should be surprised by it. I mean, they're such a great band, but I love the story of them being kind of responsible for you being a broadcaster.
Yeah, peace of mind. Back when they used to play those FM radio shows, where they would do the rock line or whatever it is, and the host would talk about the song and then play the song. And the story goes, I'll sort of paraphrase, but he was talking about peace of mind. And if you listen to that Boston hit, you can hear him talking about climbing the corporate ladder, but that's not really what he wanted to do. But everyone told him he had a good job. And he's like, but I want to rock and roll. And I was in my garage in North Hollywood one Sunday night with the radio on, listening to one of those rock compilations, Sunday night KLOS shows, and they were discussing that story of Peace of Mind and the Boston song. And I remember thinking, I'm a carpenter now, and I don't want to be a carpenter. I got to follow my dreams, man. I want to be a comedian. And I was listening to the words that they were saying and how the lead singer like dropped out of his job. I think he had a job at like IBM or something. He had a good job. The only thing that made it a lot easier for me than these guys is they're always talking about having a good job and having to turn their back on their good career and go toward music or art or comedy or whatever. But I never had a good job. So it was a lot easier for me to turn my back on my shitty, you know, I was getting $12 an hour, you know, moving drywall. So it was a little easier for me to walk away from my gig.
Yeah. Must have been nice for those guys.
Well, we're glad that Boston walked away from their computer job and got into their rock and roll job.
too. Love those harmonizing guitars. Mm. All right, here's another question.
So good. Yep.
Ace Man, once again, Ivan from TJ. It is an honor, nay, a privilege, nay, a pleasure to be speaking with you, sir. I have a question for both you and Chris. First, to you, Ace Man. I love whenever you do Unprepared. I think it speaks volumes of your comedic genius. But I'm curious to know if you've ever been heckled by some asshole in the crowd. And if so, how do you manage that? And to Chris, who is more beloved in the Filipino community? Is it Manny Pacquiao or Joe Coy? Or are they on equal ground? Mm. Get it on. Love your show. And I'll continue listening.
Thank you, Ivan, from Tijuana.
Yeah, thank you.
Chris has been there for just about every Unprepared show, or maybe every Unprepared show. I rarely get heckled, I must say. Sometimes people are drunk and they shout stuff out and they step on stuff or they get whatever, and I fuck around with them. But it's never been an issue. I don't know. Maybe they are heckling and I don't notice it. I've never had a run-in or an issue, but maybe it's the way I address it. I seem to roll with it pretty well, try to make it into some content. Usually once the drunken person starts getting humiliated a little bit, they kind of zip it. We did have that situation where we did a live podcast in Ventura all those years ago where that woman needed to be dragged out of the actual venue, like physically pulled out of the venue and dragged out into the street kind of thing. But to the best of my memory, that's the only time that we've really had to kind of stop a show and deal with somebody. Another time at Cobb's in San Francisco, I think, had to kind of deal with that too. But by and large, not so much.
Yeah, your audience is actually very respectful. And a lot of the comedians who open for you who don't really know what to expect because they've never seen you live, they always come back to me and just go, that was one of the best audiences I've ever had, because they're just so into comedy, and they listen to you. And if you do have a drunk listener who kind of just talks over your steps on things, you're really great at powering through it and sometimes not even acknowledging it, and you just blow right past it, which is nice.
Yeah, I'm a multitasker. Or I can compartmentalize. Joe Coy. And who was it? Pacquiao.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. They are very close. Manny is still in the lead slightly, only because when Manny Pacquiao came into this very studio, I took a picture with him. And that's when my mom realized that I'm doing okay in life, when I sent her that photo. She was able to send that to our family, everybody around. And if I did with Joe Coy now, it would have the same effect, but Manny was first. And I think even Joe would say that Manny is just a little bit ahead.
We're live on stereo. If you want to join in the conversation, you may. What else you got, Max Pata?
Here we go.
Hey, Adam. Remember the Chick-fil-A incident with Jay Leno? I just wanted to say, you know, that was all your fault. The moment you decided that your crew deserved better sandwiches than Jay Leno's, that's when the order got messed up. You should have just said, I need 15 chicken sandwiches. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't decide my crew needed better sandwiches than Jay Leno. Did I? No.
No, not at all. Yeah, he has it all wrong. So, what happened was I think the only person who actually didn't even order a sandwich was Matt DeAndre. He ordered grilled nuggets, but everyone else got sandwiches. It was an easy order, just a weird mix-up in communication that led to, I think, your most embarrassing moment, because you called me that night horrified, and I've never seen you like that. I've never heard you like that. And, I was a little worried about you.
I'll never forget. We pulled into Leno's shop. He has a kitchen in one of his shops, and I dropped the bags off, and everyone just started pulling sandwiches out of the bag and started eating them. And at some point I looked up and Jay was just looking into the bag with a sort of forlorn look on his face. And I was like, What's he just staring in the bag for? Everyone else is just eating their sandwich. And he's like, no more sandwiches? And I was like, well, what do you mean? Yeah, we got sandwiches for you. Like, that, they're in the bag. And he's like, there's nothing in the bag. I'm like, what? Yeah. Then I realized as I was pulling the sandwich away from my face and it had that bridge of spittle going to it, I was like, you can have a bite of this one, Jay, if you like the ones with extra mayo. And then I realized, yeah, I think that was Gabe. Gabe blamed the weather. I think part of his thing was it was raining outside. So, you know. You know what it's like when you phone in a sandwich order and it's drizzling? That's
almost impossible.
Almost impossible to get through. I don't know. It's the cloud cover or something that obscures the cell phone. I don't work for AT&T. Then later on, we did have the jumbo size of nuggets, which he ordered, which he claimed he thought were for Jay, except for I don't know why I thought Jay ordered those nuggets.
Those are backup nuggets.
Those were backup nuggets. And I think the problem was Matt Fondelier was communicating with Jay. And I said something like, ask Jay and his crew what they want and forward that along to Gabe. And Gabe never got that forwarded along to him. So he just ordered what we ordered. And as I've said to almost everyone all the time when I run into this shit, people, I have it happen twice a week where someone is like, shows up to my house or shows up whatever, and then they go, oh, I didn't know if you were going to be here, or I didn't know where you wanted me to go. And I'm always like, I don't blame you for that part. I blame you for the part where you stop, where you need to stop and go. I just ordered sandwiches at Chick-fil-A for you guys. Does Jay and his crew want anything? If you'd ask that, then I would go, you didn't order anything for Jay? Hold the phone. And then we would fix it. It's the part where you say nothing. I think that that's, I don't mind the mix up and I don't mind the dropping of the ball. I blame the part where you don't stop and go, there's four of you and I just ordered four sandwiches. Or actually, there's four of you and I ordered three sandwiches. What's Mr. Leno planning on eating?
Yeah, that makes sense. And I agree with you.
Yes.
Here's another question.
Gabe's also the one that left the trunk open when we were going on the cruise last year. And Mike's bag fell out of the back of the trunk. He literally, the car was backed up. To the front door, backed up to the front door.
It rained like two nights before that, so.
Oh, it was raining before that. Yeah, and he walked out and walked into the car, got behind the driver's seat and took off with the trunk wide open, and poor Mike and his bag flew out. All right, sorry.
Game over. All right, here we go.
Maybe he was too tired from cleaning his office to actually shut that trunk lid. That could have been it.
Could have been it, too. It was late or early. All right, here we go.
Hey, Adam, I just was listening this morning and you guys are talking about the strip clubs in Vegas. Wanted to just relay a quick story. My friend down in Mexico said that they went out to the strip club during COVID and the stripper was wearing a mask, like a face shield, and then proceeded to stick her butt in my friend's face. And we all were laughing about that. So anyway, I thought you might find that hilarious.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that going on. I don't mean in strip clubs, but there's a lot of, you know, fly Southwest. I wear glasses oftentimes, and I cannot figure out how to wear that mask without fogging up my glasses. I do it every time. So I tend to slide the thing down and hang my nose out and then wear my glasses, and I don't fog them up. But if you fly on an airline, they now come around every 10 seconds, like, pull that mask up, pull that mask up.
Yeah.
Then 10 seconds later, they hand you some pretzels and everyone's mask comes down. So I don't think it's a science on an airplane. And if it ain't a science on a commercial flight, it sure as fuck ain't a science at the Unicorn Bar on Revolution Street in Tijuana. Which I always love when I think Ed Calderon's coming in later this week. I love talking to him about what went on Revolution Street in Tijuana back in the day, because those are some of my favorite high school road trip stories, is going to TJ, which is utterly lawless. I mean, at least back then, for sure was lawless. And if you were 16 and you wanted to drink at a strip club, you could definitely go to Tijuana and get that done. Problem was, is the drinks at the strip club were like $3. So we'd always smuggle in a bottle of rum, order a Coke, sure, and like freshen it up ourselves from underneath the table. Yeah. I went there with I went there with an old girlfriend once. I mean, I've been to TJ, TJ quite a few times back in the day. Lots of good drunken TJ stories. I got to be one of the few people who slept on a beach in Tijuana. The Tijuana Beach. Not going down the coast of Baja, you know, Rosarita, Ensenada. I'm talking Tijuana Beach. Like, done with the strip club. And not even with a sleeping bag. Just a blanket from my bed to the beach in Tijuana. I realized...
You took that blanket back to your bed?
Oh, fuck yeah. I only had one blanket. It was my blanket. It was on my bed, or if we went camping, it went with me too. I've been camping with that blanket and fucking froze up on Mount Pinos, like on a few nights for sure. Also, I probably would have been stabbed or shot by a local, but they must have thought I was an undercover cop, right? Like, who'd be crazy enough to just fucking sleep on a beach in Tijuana with a blanket? Just walk out onto the sand and just fucking pass out on the beach. Woke up with the dogs that walk sideways going around me. The sideways walking Tijuana beach dogs. Like, I woke up like, huh? I also tried to go to Tijuana once and just slept by the side of the freeway. I mean, we got a tire blowout in like San Juan Capistrano. We had no spare. Just fucking parked the car on the side of the freeway and walked. Walked down and found a patch of grass and like slept under a sign. Yeah, I used to sleep in pretty random places. Also, the time I took my sister's Dodge Dart down to Tijuana and blew it up and junked it somewhere around San Diego. Came home with $40. How'd you like if someone borrowed your car and came back with $40?
That's the worst case scenario. I can't believe you did that.
Yep. Yeah, we used to go on Tijuana runs all the time. And the thing is, we never had any money. We'd all have like $20 and go to Tijuana. And then I'd have my blanket. Also, later when I worked construction, we started going on construction guy runs. But that wasn't Tijuana. That was Baja. We'd get trucks and surfboards and motorcycles and go all the way down the Baja coast. That was more just camping on the beach, but at least it was more Baja, which is, I mean, I know Tijuana's in Baja or whatever, but further you can get away from Tijuana before you go to bed outside, probably the better.
I agree. All right, let's get into the question.
Hey, Adam, I have a question for you. I got rich last year, and I was wondering if you had any advice. I bought a McLaren, but that's really the only crazy thing that I've done.
Well, I don't know which McLaren he got, but any McLaren's expensive. First things first, no matter how rich I was, if I bought a McLaren, I'd buy one that was 2 years old. Like, they come down. Most all those big high-dollar supercars, with the exception of some really small batch like Porsches and very limited edition stuff, they all kind of drop off in value after, you know, a couple of years. So no matter how rich you are, you know, go get something that's 2 years old. Also, I would say experiences now. I mean, we're living in a time now where everyone's got a big fat TV and everyone's got a smartphone and everyone's kind of on the same level. Like, the ultimate sort of playing field leveler is the smartphone. I see homeless guys with smartphones. Like, if you have that thing in your palm that has all the information on the planet in your palm, you're never going to be poor in a certain sense. Like, the chasm between you and Mark Zuckerberg is not so great if you both just have the same iPhone with the same internet and the same stuff. As a matter of fact, your internet, I should say, your phone connection, probably living in your shitty apartment in the city, is actually better than the guys with their big homes on the coast, on the cliff in Malibu, or up in the hills of you know, up in the canyons of Beverly Hills or something like that. I bet they have super shitty cell phone reception, which I've always had in any of my big canyon homes, and it does drive this rich guy nuts. But I would say do experiences that other people can't do. I used to say like collect a car or buy a home or do that sort of stuff, but I don't know. You know, go to Paris just because. Do some shit that you'd never be able to do. And maybe get away from the mechanical and the tangible and head toward the experience.
Is there an experience that you're thinking of doing? Like, I don't think you went ziplining when your family did.
Yeah, I was in a bathroom in Compton shooting a TV show while they were ziplining. Yeah, I did it so everyone my family could do fun shit. You take something like flying privately versus commercially. You know, you're talking to a guy who in a 1 month span or sometimes a 1 week span or sometimes a 2 day span will go. And I'm talking about me, will go from flying on Mark Garagus's private jet to flying coach on Southwest and in like a 2 day period. And I can tell you, there's a huge chasm between those two experiences, as Max Apata will attest to. All I can say is this about flying private. It's the only time you go to an airport, get on a plane, and go to another airport where at some point you hear we're landing and you're like, really? Like, we can't circle a little bit? Like, I just cracked an IPA. We're going to land? Like, yeah. Like literally, you're a little disappointed when you land. That's all you need to know about the difference between flying private and flying commercially. That little bit of disappointment. Oh, we're landing already? Like, didn't you experience that, Max Pata?
We flew private from L.A. to the south of France, and it's still just the coolest thing that I've ever done. It's going to be in my obituary. Like, that's peak me. That's as high as I'll go.
How about me finding a water bottle filled with Mike August's urine? After we landed in Paris. On a private jet that had... Man. The private plane had five people in two bathrooms. Mike still filled... He still filled the Dasani bottle with his own piss and then left it in the fucking cup holder of the reclining leather seat. And was getting off the plane. He is so fucking lucky I picked up that bottle. I was like, wait a minute. Is this one of those powders you mix in for being jet lagged or something? And I fucking looked at that bottle. I was like, there's no way somebody would piss in a water bottle and leave it on $110,000 flight and a $65 million jet with two bathrooms. No way. But you know what? You know the beauty of me? I said, Mike August is on this plane. I better sniff this fucking bottle.
He deserves a sniff test.
And Mike was like, well, the stewardess was sleeping up front. I didn't want to wake her up. I was like, okay, you know what wakes her up pretty good? Emptying a fucking bottle of your own piss water the next morning. We're talking about rude.
Still warm.
Yeah, what's ruder? Waking up the fucking stewardess so you can use the bathroom up front, or having her drain your piss bottle the following day in Paris?
Yeah, I would say the latter is far more rude.
The fact that he was walking, he was packing up. Thank God I had so many experiences with urine. Another man's urine in my former life. You know, so many of my friends have peed on me over the course of my life that I don't have a strong, you know, I'm like a physician. You know what I mean? Where the guy, you know, you get the doctor and you're like, I think I got a wart on my weenie. And then everyone's like freaked out. Like, I don't want to show the doctor. And then Dr. Right. Drew will go, no, they see that stuff all the time. It's no big deal for them. That's the way I feel about Mike's urine. You know what I mean? It may have freaked out the stewardess, but I'm a seasoned veteran when it comes to dude's urine. So I was like, I take it, lift the bottle. I can feel it's warm. Then I take a sniff off it. I assume it's urine. Then I take a hit off it just to make sure.
A little bit.
Dumped it out in the sink in the bathroom. Ugh. And all the annals of flights from Van Nuys, California to Paris. Has anyone filled a bottle with piss? If I ever ran into Robert Plant or Jimmy Page and they try to regale me with crazy stories from the 70s about fucking stewardesses like on top of the captain's lap and all that, I'd go, that's all well and good, but have you ever filled a water bottle with piss on a plane that had two fucking bathrooms in it? And they'd be like, dude, that's hardcore. I've sniffed ants, and I would never do that. Sorry.
Love it. Oh, man. All right, here's another question.
Since we're revealing embarrassing things about ourselves, Mr. Krulla, I would like to divulge. When I was younger, I would sing Prince's song, Little Red Corvette. I would sing Living Correct.
Mm. Yeah. Well, in the car.
Awful.
Oh, sorry.
It's just been an awful time, so I'm glad to share that.
Yeah, and in the car, it always made me think of my old friend Steve when I was 15. I don't know why. It's car related, but he was singing that Bachman Turner Overdrive song, "Taking Care of Business," and he was singing "Taking Care of Pistons." I don't know where he got it, but it's another car. It's sort of the inverse or the opposite of what she just did. She took a car thing and turned it into a non-car thing. Steve turned a non-car thing and turned it into a car thing. And speaking of BTO, you could cover a BTO song. It wouldn't kill you, Chris. People love BTO. Pretty straightaway chord progressions there. And they got, you know, you don't have to do Taking Care of Business. Trying to think
You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet.
No, don't do Taking Care of Business and don't do You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. Do Let It Roll Down the Highway. It's got a great rhythm. It's got a great lick. And it's a rock song. And he's talking about like rambling and rolling and all that kind of shit. Let it roll. Oh, my friend always used to sing Diamond Highway, but it's down the highway. And they do that thing where everyone comes in, roll, roll. And then they stop everything and they do that thing where the guy just hits the drum pedal. He just kicks the bass. Doom, doom. And the guy comes in. You know what song I'm talking about, Max Banner?
I can't think of it. No.
Oh, man. How can we play that song?
I'm going to check it out first thing.
Nah, I want to hear that song now. How can we do that? Like, fire it up on your phone and put it into the microphone. Tell someone around you to do it. Let It Roll by BTO. You're going to like that song. No, we're live.
Play it on your phone.
We're live on stereo, by the way, if you guys want to join the conversation. And all our drunken road trips, I certainly must have requested Let It Roll by BTO. For you, Max Zapata, at some point.
I'm sure. I mean, we've had a lot of road trips and a lot of songs.
Yes.
That we've listened to. I got to add that one to the list, especially something to cover at the next cruise.
I think it's a good, solid rock riff. It's a good lick. It's kind of a deep cut. It doesn't get any spins. No one's going to know it. When you're drummer's not destroying the bathroom on the cruise ship, he could join in, because it's one of these things where everyone just sings the song in the band. Like, everyone goes, let it roll. Dawson's got it on his
gang vocals.
Dawson's got it on his, oh yeah, put into that mic. Good riff. Got this part there. Nah. We ready to truck.
I do know this song.
It's a rock song, right?
Yeah. and attitude.
So much more.
I could see you doing this one, Loxima.
Yeah. If anyone else has any cover requests, leave an audio message up here.
All right, here it comes.
Down the highway. Let it roll.
And it's got this riff right this part. All right, we got it. Yeah, and at a certain point, the guy's just hitting the kick pedal.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a good straightforward rock song. Deep cut. No one ever hears that song, and it's not. It's also one of these things where you don't need to hear it 30 times to get into it. You have a couple of belts. You'll be into it in real time.
I'm into it. I'm already into it. All right, here's another question.
Hey Ace, it's Steve in Atlanta. My daughter Quinn's in the back seat. Quinn, say get it on.
Get on.
We just wanted to say hi. Love you guys. Love Max Pata. And just keep it up. Podcast is great. Gina Bald, everybody. And looking forward to a great 2021. Keep going out to eat. Support the local businesses. You're the best.
Yeah, we will. And I will. I mean, I went to Vegas just to really go out and eat. I got to tell you, man, if... anyone hasn't experienced the majesty of Mr. Chow? Oh, man. That is Chinese food. Oh. You know, you can kind of tell a good Chinese food place, Max Pata? The sweet and sour pork. The crappy places try too hard. First off, it's always like bright red or orange, right? And it's super
neon.
It's super gooey and covered in goo and all that kind of stuff.
Too sauce.
Too sauce. Too sweet, too sauce, too good. The good Chinese food places are like secure with their sweet and sour. They're like, yeah, it's sweet and sour, but it's called fucking sweet and sour pork, not sweet and sour goo. I mean, we got to have some pork in there. We got to have some pineapple. We got to be some bell pepper. And light must pass through the sauce. You know what I mean? Like you go to a shitty Chinese food place, you take a half ounce of that goo sauce, you put on the end of a flashlight, and no light will pass through it. You got to be a little bit secure. You know what I mean?
I completely agree. And look, we've had Chinese food many times. It is probably the most surprising meal that I eat with you guys, because you, me, and August, we put down probably enough for 7 people.
Right.
And not a grain of rice left on those plates.
No. Well, also, you know, Mike, like, he'll use his sleeve to mop up whatever's left in the bowl. You know what I mean? He'll literally use his sleeve and then suck on it like you're giving a baby a medication or something like that. So, yes, I like that. I like your mentality. I like Mike's mentality. I like my mentality. Like, no grain left behind. We're not leaving any of our brothers behind. It's like we're in country and we're Navy SEALs. I don't care. It's not staying behind. Well, you know me. I go to a steakhouse in Chicago and bring my leftover steak back with me to L.A. Don't care.
Yeah, which I appreciate.
Yes, because I oftentimes give you either the lobster guts when I come back.
Yes.
Or the steak. All right, should we do one more?
We got one more here. Let's do it.
Hey guys, first time caller, long time listener. Feeling bad for Dr. Drew with all the crap he's getting on social media about getting COVID. But kind of ultimately, I think the COVID will prove his point. Basically that he is informed of what's going on, and you know, no one knew exactly what was happening at first, but ultimately he's proven correctly. He's going to be alive. He's going to be fine. Thanks guys.
Yeah, I think there's a, and by the way, you're listening on the Stereo app, and if you're just tuning in, we're live coast to coast on Stereo. I think the disconnect came, which is the news and a lot of the authority figures were pitching this thing like if you got it, you died. And guys like me and Drew were pushing back against that theme, which is if you're old and you have pre-existing conditions, then you have a chance of dying. But it's not statistically going to happen if you're young and you're healthy. that in this world where there's no room for nuance, that somehow got shifted into some sort of denier thing. Just like me saying, don't wear a fucking mask on the beach, you retards. That somehow turned into he's an anti-masker. I just got off a Southwest flight. I just got back from Vegas. I walked through 1,000 casinos. I went into restaurants. I went through airports. I wore a mask everywhere because you have to wear your mask at all those places. And it's just a courtesy to all the other people that are freaked out. Now, a lot of the data around the masks are suggesting it's probably not nearly as effective as they touted it to be, but they're wrong about everything. But somehow me making fun of people walking alone on a windy, sunny beach wearing a mask, somehow that got translated into he's an anti-masker or is a COVID denier.
Yeah.
You fuckers are all full of shit, by the way. You're such assholes. And by the way, if that's the way you interpret information, you should all kill yourself. Because there's no way you're interpreting that information. You're twisting that information to put it into your narrative. And obviously, Drew's not an anti-masker. Drew said 10,000 times to wear a mask, and as so have I, who dutifully puts one on every time I go into an airport or Trader Joe's or anything like that. I'm saying don't walk your dog alone on a fucking horse trail, you fucking sheep, with a mask on. And then, you know, I had this the biggest revelation for me during this whole thing is not – It wasn't the COVID disease, and it wasn't the politicians, and wasn't anything. It's like, what fucking little dropping bitches that everyone turned into about, like, trying to shame people for not wearing a mask outside and all that kind of shit. It's sad. What fucking sad sheep everyone turned into. But I had this thought, and maybe this will dovetail into this sort of sheep herd mentality that so many people, maybe it's a California thing, but so many pussies here have just run with this whole fucking lockdown mess and this whole, you know, I'm talking about eating dinner outdoors at a restaurant, supporting small businesses, and they're saying I'm a COVID denier, which, again, suck my dick, you fucking retards, number one. Number two, think about this. When I come to this studio every day, I get off the freeway. The freeway off ramp has three lanes, one lane to turn right, two lanes to turn left. I often see 15 cars all piled up in one left turn lane and another left turn lane is wide open. And I just drive by this huge line of cars waiting to turn left who got there long before I did. And I go right up to the front of the open lane and I turn left. And I think when I look at these people, there's a sign that says you can turn left on two lanes. Plus, these people aren't from out of town. They live around here. This is how they get off the freeway. They get in line behind the person who is in front of them. They're not in that lane because they like that lane. They're in that lane because someone is ahead of them in that lane and they just got in line. They just pulled in behind. They did no thinking. They blocked out any of the stimulus or the information and they just went, you know what? This guy's in line. I'm going to get in line. So you see this thing and you realize, oh, there's a sheep horde lemming mentality that many weak, dumb people have, and it's pervasive. And when you point it out, you then shame them and then they get super angry and they tweet at you, which then I find amusing. Again, we're live on stereo, so don't sit there silently. You can talk to us live on the stereo app. Yeah, isn't this the biggest?
You've put it out.
Yes.
Oh, well, I'm saying. Well, now that you've put it out there that you're officially not an anti-masker, as everyone on the internet's been saying. So you wear your mask everywhere around Vegas and to Trader Joe's. You're a celebrity. Do you get recognized still, or do you enjoy a little bit more privacy?
I kind of like I like wearing the mask, but I normally just wear it around my chin, which is part of it. And then I take pictures with people, and then people always tell me to pull the mask up. Not the people I'm taking the pictures with, but the idea is you're not supposed to take pictures with the mask down. Although the piece of shit 49-cent mask I've had rolling around the passenger seat of my car for 4 months. That's around.
I know the one.
It's not properly fitted to me at all. I guarantee there is all theater. That is 100% theater. There is nothing medical or scientific going on with that mask whatsoever. It prevents nothing. It's doing nothing. Not my mask. I'm not talking about getting an M95 and going into a surgical environment. I'm talking about the ones you see. You put it through this way. I just got off a Southwest flight. Southwest flight probably had 200 people on the airplane. Out of the 200 people, I would say 11 of them had a proper mask that fitted them properly and kept it on perfectly for the entire length of the flight. The other 189 people either wearing an old mask or mask you could see daylight peeking through, or the mask was around their chin while they were eating, or their nose was hanging out. Anything but scientific. So there you have it. And why isn't everyone on that flight sick? I mean, you're taking 200 people and you're essentially taking 200 people and putting them into something that's 12 feet wide and 61 feet long. Like, that would be the most crowded restaurant you've ever eaten at in your life. If you took one of those Southwest flights with 200 people in it, and you took each chair and you spread it out 6 foot from one another, it would take up a football field if you did it properly. You understand? That's literally a football field. And if that was a restaurant, and you wanted to take that same square footage and safely comply to all the COVID regulations and put people in that restaurant, there would be room with that footprint of that 737. If that was a restaurant and you wanted to comply, the maximum capacity would be 14 people. There are 200 people. Yeah. So you tell me about the science, bitches. All right, you're listening live on stereo. Should we bring it home, Max Pata?
Let's do it.
You can check me out. Naples, Florida is coming up this week off the hook. Doing stand-up next week, I should say, January 15th, 16th. And the shows are almost sold out, so you want to jump on that. Burbank, California, doing the Pickwick Bowling Alley, January 23rd, doing a drive-in show and a car show. So you can come on out. Dawson's going to be doing some stand-up there, too. Oklahoma City, Bricktown Comedy Club, February 26th, 27th. Live shows everywhere. Just go to amcarolla.com and you can watch stand up there on our YouTube page. And get my book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. Give it a review. I'll read it. Review it.
Yeah.
I'll read the reviews, I should say.
And, tomorrow we're going to do Tales from the Cheap. So everybody call in with your cheap stores. Could be Holiday Base, doesn't have to be though. And Fitzdog.
Ooh, love Fitzdog. So, until next time, Adam Crawford, Dr. Drew, and Gina Grad, and Bald Brian, and Chris Max Pata saying, mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And pick up Adam's book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. Get all the links and everything else at AdamCarolla.com.